Okay, now we can start.
Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA.
If you build it, they will come. Joel, seen that movie? He's in the movie, Joe.
Hosts Jordan Malley and Matt Peck dive into the best Bulls news and stories around the NBA.
In our 670 The Score studios, Jordan Malley.
Shout out to Jordan Malley.
Did Matt Peck get a signed copy of that book?
No, Matt Peck, he didn't. No.
No.
I'll talk to D. Rose.
Yeah, you're going to make it happen.
And Matt, you will be getting your book soon.
Kick back and get ready for the best hour of your day.
Are players buying in, Jim?
Yes.
Fair enough.
And so all I was saying on this podcast, the Locked On Bulls podcast.
Locked On Bulls, 5 days a week.
Locked On Bulls starts now.
You can just see the vibe.
Here are your hosts, Jordan Malley and Matt Peck.
What's up and welcome into Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. I'm Matt Peck, also host of Bulls Outsiders on NBC Sports Chicago, following all 82 Bulls games this season. You can follow me on Twitter at Bulls_Peck. You can follow my co-host Jordan Malley at Jordan C. Malley. And you can find us on Twitter at Locked On Bulls. You can also find us on Facebook, facebook.com/LockedOnShyBulls. Send us an email, lockedonbulls@gmail.com, or hit up that text and voicemail line, 331-979-1369 for our weekly mailbag episodes. And today's Wednesday, so that's what we will be doing on today's show. Happy Wednesday, everybody. Bulls have another game on deck tonight, hosting Karl-Anthony Towns and the Minnesota Timberwolves, former team of Chris Dunn and Zach LaVine. Zach LaVine certainly has a habit of putting forth some of his biggest games when he's playing against his former team or other, you know, extra motivation kind of games like that. Who could forget his performance in the game in his first season here in Chicago, the back end of that 17-18 season when he went toe-to-toe with Jimmy Butler, then still of the Minnesota Timberwolves. Shout out to our pal Robert, who went to that game with Jordan and myself. We had a great time. The Bulls won that game, and it was the Zach LaVine show, particularly in the fourth quarter. Man, that seems like a lifetime ago. Jimmy Butler's had two different other teams since then. Just wanted to give a shout out to one of the sponsors for today's show, MyBookie. Are you the type of sports fan that knows football, basketball, baseball so well that you could choose any game and call it? Well, MyBookie is the place for you because they let you turn all your sports knowledge into cash in your wallet. Between the NBA and the start of college basketball, it's time to get off the sideline and get in on the action with MyBookie. If you're the kind of sports fan who likes to bet a little to win a lot, try a parlay. If you like a couple games with big favorites this week, parlay are perfect because they let you bet multiple games together for a much bigger payout. So if you're going to bet this season, do the smart thing and go to mybookie.ag because no one gives you more ways to win. If you're tired of watching games from the couch with nothing to gain, MyBookie wants to get your mind off everything else and back on the game. If you join right now, MyBookie will match your deposit halfway all the way up to $1,000. That means if you deposit $2,000, you get an extra $1,000 in free money to play with. Just use promo code LOCKEDONNBA to activate this offer. Once again, that's promo code LOCKEDONNBA to take advantage of MyBookie's generous sign-up offer. Visit MyBookie.ag today. You play, you win, you get paid. So, let's dive right into some mailbag content. Kicking things off with a question about All-Star Weekend from Brennan on Facebook. What's up, guys? I've been thinking about the upcoming All-Star Week and wondered if you guys think that Michael Jordan will be in the building. Being that last year's game was in Charlotte, which he did show his face at, I couldn't help but wonder if he would show his face in Chicago. Plus, the Bulls' first game back after the break is against the Hornets at the UC. Do you think he'll make an appearance sometime on television? If so, could it be the last time we ever see MJ at the United Center? By the way, listen to every episode. Keep up the good work. Thanks. Thanks for checking in, Brennan. Appreciate you listening. I did not know, I hadn't noticed, that the Bulls host the Hornets coming out of the All-Star break. That is an interesting detail. Maybe that means between that and the All-Star festivities that MJ will be around in the city of Chicago and at the house that MJ built, the United Center. Obviously, it would be great fun for everyone at All-Star Weekend to see MJ in and around the building, being a part of the festivities. He obviously, you know, because he runs his own team, owns the Hornets, and certainly has not done so super successfully over the years. But because of, you know, his Carolina roots, he doesn't necessarily, you know, he's not a figure in Chicago anymore like he was back in his playing days when, you know, Michael Jordan was as synonymous with the city of Chicago as, say, Oprah Winfrey. Obviously, it's always nice to see those faces from the glory days. And we see some of them more so than others because, obviously, players like Scottie Pippen, Horace Grant, Tony Kukoc are special advisors to the Reinsdorf family and do a lot of things as far as Bulls charities and outreach and doing things with and around and for season ticket holders. And it's always nice to see those familiar faces, but MJ's never been one of them because he has his own team to run. So I don't know. I have not heard one way or the other whether or not MJ plans on being around Chicago, but you do know that MJ has some pretty epic All-Star Weekend parties that he hosts, regardless of where All-Star Weekend is. I've heard some of the stories from gentlemen that I am extremely lucky to call colleagues, Kendall Gill, Will Perdue, part of that pre- and post-game crew on NBC Sports Chicago. I've heard some pretty insane stories about MJ and his All-Star Weekend parties. I've heard them from Horace, too, while Horace would occasionally come in and do pre- and post-game duties last season. So I hope for the city of Chicago, for Bulls fans, that we do see some appearance from MJ during All-Star Weekend. And, you know, I assume that Scottie's going to be around. Scottie's not only very active with the Bulls, but a very big active part of NBA media. You know, he does his regular appearances on ESPN's The Jump with Rachel Nichols. So it would be cool to see some of the old gang back together again. That, you know, those are the kind of moments that always hit you in the feels. Even things like when Joakim was in the building and Derrick Rose and his Pistons came earlier this season, and you saw just a Joakim and Derrick Rose reunion, you know, in the tunnel of the United Center. And those things can just hit us fans in the feels so hard because they take us back to fonder times. Obviously, this season has been a trying one. It's been it's certainly been a season of underwhelming results, underperformance, underachieving. And fans are frustrated, rightfully so. So it's it's an interesting dichotomy of enjoying the nostalgia of those old days and the faces that made this organization as successful and as global as it is. Of course, Michael being at the forefront of that. But it also, you know, the other part of that is Bulls fans who feel like this organization continues to just ride the coattails of the MJ years and the dynasty years, and the fact that they, despite inconsistent or outright negative basketball product that they put on the floor in the years after the dynasty, are constantly growing financially. One of the richest teams in the NBA, one of the richest professional sports organizations in the world. And it's because of MJ, and it's because of those years. And Bulls fans are sick of them living off the glory years, and certainly sick of particular people that run this team, a.k.a. John Paxson, having the loyalty for life from Jerry Reinsdorf because of those dynasty years. So it's tough to weigh your feelings about that kind of stuff. The dynasty years were amazing. I mean, they defined my childhood. And I can't help but, you know, turn into an emotional sap anytime I see MJ around. Anytime I see MJ and Scottie reunite, it hits you. It hits you in the feels. But it also makes you just wish that the present were somewhere, anywhere near as relevant as this organization once was when it came to winning basketball games. So, I hope that MJ will be around, but I don't know. We'll have to wait and find out. All right, let's get to some texts. This is a trade hypothetical from the 312. Hey guys, have a trade hypothetical for you. Should we call Cleveland and look to ship Lowry for one of their young point guards and Kevin Love? I was thinking along the lines of Sexton and Love and a second rounder for Lowry, Dunn, Sato, and Felicio. I think that trade would give us a second option next to LaVine in Kevin Love with a scoring point guard to help spread the backcourt with Sexton, while Cleveland opens the backcourt for Garland and can pair him with Lowry to build towards their future. So a lot of different pieces that we got to juggle here. From the Cavs' perspective, obviously things are souring with Kevin Love, and he, I'm sure, would like to be traded elsewhere, ideally to a contender. He's a guy in the back end of his NBA career. He's been very, you know, outwardly and vocally frustrated with the way things have gone in Cleveland this season, and you can't really blame him. That team is terrible. And they have this tricky situation where, you know, they've gone backcourt with lottery picks in back-to-back years, first Colin Sexton and now taking Garland this year. And both players have certain strengths and weaknesses to their game. They've both shown signs of promise, but I think that maybe if pressed, they would lean towards, as our texture here suggests, keeping Garland and moving along from Colin Sexton. So I understand what you're trying to say there as far as why Cleveland might be interested in doing this. And also getting off of the Kevin Love money that's there. So that's where things get a little bit more interesting, because I don't know if the Cavs would be interested enough in Lowry. And, you know, you're throwing in Dunn, expiring rookie contract, so they'd have to re-sign him. Sato under contract again next season, and then I believe there's an option for a third season. And then Felicio, who still has one more year remaining next season at $8 million. I don't like that, and that's the issue right now when I hear all these Bulls fans talking about, should we trade Lowry, get something for him while we can, while he's just so horribly regressing in his third season. And y'all know my take. I don't think that the Bulls should panic trade Lowry yet. I know everyone's frustrated. Our inbox is flooded with texts from all of you out there in Bulls Nation saying, dude, Lowry is just soft. People calling him Charmin, calling him ass, calling him all these terrible things, and I get the frustration, and I certainly understand that some of this blame has to go on Lowry himself. But, it is undeniable that the system that Jim Boylan is insisting that this team run this season has had a negative effect on Lowry's development and has led, in large part, to his regression. Lowry has been a little bit more outspoken recently about his minutes, his usage, his shots, where his shots are coming from. And it's not like he is a lone casualty. He's the biggest example of a player struggling to fit this system and make it work, because he's just had such an underwhelming year, you know, statistically. And he ghosts in the second half, even on nights when he has a strong start in the first half. But I cannot advocate this team trading Lowry and giving up on him while Jim Boylan is still the head coach of this team. There is fault in both camps. Lowry has not done enough to make that leap that third-year players who have that potential to be all-star players in this league one day usually make in that third season. But and it's something that that Joe Cowley did a really good job illustrating in a recent piece for the Sun Times, and I quote-tweeted it with some thoughts of my own, saying how I agree with Joe is in that this system and this new emphasis on using quote analytics to play this system where, you know, Jim wants to chuck a bunch of threes and get layups at the rim and basically completely eliminate any kind of mid-range game, any kind of post game, any kind of traditional half-court offensive sets, it's hurt Lowry tremendously. He's not the only one. You know, Zach at times and on some nights, because he's just saying, screw it, I got to do this for myself, has ignored those you know, instructions from Jim and has taken some of his mid-range game back. But you heard him talk about it. You heard every Bulls player talk about it in that great column from Darnell Mayberry just like a week or so ago about analytics and how these Bulls players feel about it. It's they've ruined Thad Young, a 12-year NBA veteran. They are already screwing with the brain of young players like Kobe White and, before he went down, Wendell Carter Jr. It's like they're so rigidly using this system to try in the name of analytics while ignoring the fact that just like at to some degree, you still just have to let basketball players go play basketball. And because of that, I think Lowry and his demeanor, it has had the biggest negative impact on him among all of his other teammates. It's also made him a less valuable trade piece because he looks so bad. So to that end, I don't know if the Cavs like this trade. Yeah, Lowry is certainly a young player with plenty of potential ahead of him, and they could fix him and put him in a better position to succeed than anything that the Bulls and Jim Boylan have done this season. But Kevin Love is a bona fide star. Yeah, he's an aging star, but he's what, like 31, 32? He's got good years left. And yeah, he's on a big contract, but what about sending them Lowry, Dunn, Sato, and Felicio is enticing to the Cavs? This version of Lowry is not going to get that trade done, I don't think. Thanks for the text. Before we get to more mailbag content, a word from our friends at Calm. We talk about physical fitness a lot, but there's another side to the game that's just as important. I'm talking about mental fitness. Calm, the number one app for sleep and meditation, has teamed up with LeBron James to help you train your mind. LeBron and Calm know that your mind is like any other muscle in your body, and Calm can help you train your brain so you sleep better, have less stress, and perform at your best. For LeBron James, sleep is an important part of his mental fitness routine. He says, "Getting good sleep and finding time to rest is one of the most valuable things I can do for my body and my mind." And if you head to calm.com/lockedonNBA, you'll get 40% off a Calm Premium membership. With Calm, you have access to the nature scenes LeBron loves, like rain on leaves, and so much more, like sleep stories and meditations. For a limited time, our Locked On Bulls listeners can join LeBron and in using Calm with a 40% discount to an annual membership at calm.com/lockedonNBA. Unlock content to help you focus, ease stress, and sleep better. Get started at calm.com/lockedonNBA. That's calm.com/lockedonNBA. With that, let's get back to mailbag. This one comes to us from the 815. Clearly, Jerry West loves what the Bulls are doing if they're sending scouts. My question is, if they don't make significant moves and stay as they are, do they fire Boylan at the end of the season? How should we reevaluate this team? Boylan has made this season a complete wash with player development, player improvement, and not playing competent and competitive basketball. Yet I know, and many fans know, this team should be better than what it is right now. Quite frankly, I don't mind the record as it is. I was lukewarm on the season, but it's how we got to this record that is infuriating. How does the fan base look at this roster if they get rid of Boylan and Gar, also knowing that Pax is sticking around? Thanks for checking in. So obviously the comment about Jerry West was in reference to the fact that per reports of Casey Johnson, our Bulls insider at NBC Sports Chicago, among others, the Clippers' interest in Thad Young is legitimate. We heard that initially from, I believe, the LA Times a few weeks ago. And as we get closer to that February 6th trade deadline, Thad Young is one of those players on the Bulls who will be a name in trade rumors as we get closer to that deadline, along with, say, Denzel Valentine, Chris Dunn. And, you know, also a little bit of a tongue-in-cheek nod to something that Michael Reinsdorf has said repeatedly when asked about his faith in this team and the fact that their rebuild's heading in the right direction, citing the fact that he's talked to Jerry West, and Jerry West loves what the Bulls are doing. So kudos to that little joke thrown in there. We'll see if something does develop with that and the Clippers. But as to your point about what changes if they get rid of Boylan and they make a sacrificial firing of Gar, but Paxson is still around. And that right now seems to be perhaps one of the most likely outcomes, assuming this season stays the course of disappointment as it is. I think we all felt like they were going to give Jim at least this full season to see if he could, install his system and teach this young core of players how to, quote unquote, play the right way. My co-host Jordan, when we were on the mics together last week, was saying, you know, he thinks that a midseason firing could still be on the table for Jim. I don't think so. I think they're going to ride it out with Jim through the rest of the season based on what I'm hearing. So if they still do decide that Jim was a mistake and to move on from him this offseason and please, for the love of God, maybe actually conduct a thorough coaching search for once, and they also get rid of Gar, who is at this point a, you know, figurehead only when it comes to being the quote-unquote general manager of this team and has only basically been scouting for the last couple of years. If Paxton's still at the helm, how should the fan base feel about this roster? This is a great question, and it's something that I struggle with pretty much on a nightly basis when I watch this team play this season, to think, how much better could this team win if they had a good coach? How many more wins would this team have if they had a good coach? And I think the answer that I have come to is they would be considerably better and they would have a handful more wins, but it's still a very young team that is still very much, in my opinion, lacking in top tier NBA talent that, you know, instead of having, you know, whatever they have now, 16, 17 wins, would have closer to 20. But I don't think this is a 500 or better basketball team if you take Jim Boylan out and put in a coach who knows what they're doing. Closer to 500, absolutely. So if they make those changes, Jim's gone, Gar's gone, Paxson's still here, should the fan base feel good about this roster? And clearly some of you out there are not believers in Zach LaVine being the guy to be the best player on a good team. Many more of you even are not convinced that Lauri Markkanen is worth a piece keeping and developing anymore based on what we've seen from him this season. So maybe the fan base is not sold on this collection and this, you know, core of a group of young players to actually make the rebuild work. I believe that Zach LaVine is still a very talented player on a very team-friendly contract when you talk about his production and what he gives this team. You have to deal with the fact that unless they somehow manage to move either of these guys, which I find to be very unlikely, you still have one more year of Otto Porter Jr.'s money on the books and another year of Felicio's $8 million on the books, and that will restrict any changes, any significant changes the Bulls can make to their roster between this season and next season. So I don't see a big change coming next season either. Unless you get some legitimate development from your young core. But is Zach LaVine, Lauri Markkanen, Wendell Carter Jr., Kobe White, those four guys, is that enough of a core? Do you feel good enough about that being the core of your roster moving forward? Say they move on from Chris Dunn, they move on from Denzel, the veteran role player signings, Thad Young, Satoransky, they didn't work out, they move on from them and try to bring in other complementary role players. Is that roster good enough to really make a leap and become a good team, a team that's going places in the Eastern Conference? It certainly doesn't feel like it right now. But again, how much of that is due to this system that Jim Boylan has installed and is insisting upon keeping despite their ridiculously bad record and the poor results on the court? It's hard to see what this roster could look like with competent coaching. I still think it's not a good enough core to really compete unless Zach LaVine and or Lauri Markkanen take considerable steps forward again, and they can still get better. And Wendell is still very young. Kobe White, very young. And it takes time for players to really, you know, other than the exception to the rule, players like Luka Doncic, who is doing what he's doing at, you know, his second season, age 20, down there in Dallas. It's insane. But that's not the norm. And it's something that I think Bulls fans forget to remind themselves of as often as we should. This is a very young team. Very young teams struggle to win consistently. And it's something that we've seen all season long. And it's compounded by Jim Boylan's inability to adjust and have the proper plans to close out games. But young players also tend to struggle to close out close games. The Bulls have lost so many close games this season. So I still would like to see what a core of Zach, Lowry, Wendell, Kobe looks like under proper tutelage and coaching. But I don't think it's good enough to be a team that's about to make waves in the Eastern Conference. They have to add an all-star caliber piece. Because right now, Zach is great. He is what he is. He's the leading scorer on a bad team. Very talented. Certainly has some limitations. Lowry Markkanen, the shadow of his former self. Or maybe, as some Bulls fans believe, is exposing his true self this season. But again, so much of it goes into this coach. This spring, follow your favorite baseball teams to Arizona for Cactus League spring training. Amazing weather and landscapes, exciting outdoor adventure, incredible food. Arizona is the perfect home base for baseball fans. 10 stadiums from 15 different Major League Baseball teams, and get this, Chicagoans, 75 degree temperatures. All 10 of these stadiums are in the greater Phoenix area within 50 miles of one another, where you can go and meet the players and get their autographs before the games. And that's not all. There's so much to see and do nearby. Check out amazing restaurants and bars, including tons of craft breweries like Four Peaks, Angel's Trumpet, Ale House, Goldwater Brewing Company, and more. Enjoy live music from local and national artists. Explore museums featuring everything from native heritage to modern art to musical instruments from around the world. Bring the kids along to spring training. Arizona is a fantastic destination for families. Family-friendly resorts and hotels offer plenty of fun for kids of all ages, from water parks to horseback rides to games and activities. Arizona has tons of stuff for kids to do and see, like wildlife parks, science museums, aquariums, and dude ranches. Plan your spring training getaway at visitarizona.com/springtraining. That's visitarizona.com/springtraining. All right, one more piece of mailbag and we will get out of here for the day. This one comes to us from the 815. Here's a tough one for you guys. As much as the All-Star game is in Chicago and folks want a representative in the All-Star game from the Bulls, would you rather see Zach LaVine get the nod as an All-Star, or would you rather have all the media's attention on how bad this team is? The fact that they have no representation and how everyone has regressed on this team as a national headline going into the weekend. Because the Bulls' issues being brought for a national level over the biggest sporting All-Star event is huge. I would take the Bulls' front office getting hammered by national media over Zach's All-Star showing. Even though the man is literally the reason we have even 90% of the wins so far this season and is a scoring monster. This is a good hypothetical question, or a good would you rather. And I understand where you're coming from to say maybe it would be better long-term, maybe better big picture, if the Bulls were such a failure as everyone in national NBA media gathers in Chicago for All-Star Weekend, for that to be the story, or for that to be a big headline story. First time in 30 years that All-Star Weekend's in Chicago, and probably won't be again for another 15 or 20 years. And in the house that MJ built, things are worse than ever. 3 years into a rebuild that appears to be going nowhere, no All-Star talent on the team. John Paxson's still here. Gar Foreman's still here. Reinsdorf's still just counting the dollars of their franchise that gains hundreds of millions of dollars in revenue on a yearly basis. And what these poor fans, poor Bulls fans who have nothing to be excited or happy about. No light at the end of the tunnel. I can understand that some Bulls fans would appreciate that being the narrative because it would draw focus. It would force the Reinsdorf to address the embarrassment that is how far this organization has sunk. This team is 22nd in the NBA as we sit here on Wednesday, January 22nd, 2020. 22nd in the NBA in percentage of stadium capacity filled. They're still top 10 in attendance, but it's fallen. I believe they're 6th right now. But 22nd in capacity filled. The Bulls were the first or second team in the league in capacity filled for basically the last, you know, decade plus. And that's not the case anymore. And it's not the case anymore because this fan base has finally said enough. I'm not spending my hard-earned dollars to watch you run this team into the ground, to watch you put forth uninspiring roster after uninspiring roster, to watch you handpick your coaches from your Rolodex that are not just underwhelming choices, but make the team an even further embarrassment on the national scale. So yeah, maybe there would be some power in that being the narrative as national media, you know, descends upon Chicago for All-Star Weekend. And maybe that would be better than the Bulls being able to say, well, look, we've got our All-Star. We've got Zach LaVine. The future's bright. We may be 12 games under 500 despite having played the easy part of our schedule in the front half of this season. But the future's bright. Got to buy in. Personally, I do really want to see Zach make the All-Star team. And it's going to be tough. Fan voting has closed. I'm guessing with the final returns of the fan vote, he will be either fifth or sixth, somewhere there. He fell from fifth to sixth in the third fan voting returns. So his shot is to be a alternate selected by NBA coaches. The odds of that happening would be greater if Kemba edges out Kyrie Irving for one of the East starter backcourt spots, because the fan vote might get Kyrie in there, and then certainly Kemba would be a coach's selection alternate. But if Kemba gets one of those starting nods, because Kyrie has barely played this season, he would likely not get the coach's selection as a reserve that Kemba Walker would. So that would potentially open up another spot, another chance for Zach to get one of those all-star reserve spots. So hopefully we can see that happen. I do want to see Zach LaVine get the all-star game. I think he has earned it based on what we've seen him do this season. The defense and the whole judgment about empty calorie, one-way player, it's still somewhat true, but it's less true than it was even last season. He's gotten better defensively. He still has those, you know, those mental moments of lapses, especially when he's playing off the ball. But, like, dude, he's averaging 1.5 steals a game in this aggressive defensive system. His on-ball defense has gotten better, and the dude's pouring in 30-point nights. You know, on a near nightly basis, especially in this recent stretch. He's gotten his, you know, per points per game scoring up to right around 25 for the season. And, you know, 4+ assists, 4+ rebounds a game. I think he's earned it. And I think the fan base needs it. Because if, you know, if we're to believe that some of this shakeup is happening at the end of this season, we might still get, you know, we can have our cake and eat it too. We can have ourselves an all-star here in Chicago for the first time in a while. And we can still get some of those storylines of, well, Zach LaVine made the all-star team, but he's dragging a terrible team. He's dragging a terrible team that's currently run by a coach who doesn't have, you know, who doesn't appear to have a single fucking clue as to what he's doing on a nightly basis. So I still expect that even if Zach gets an all-star nod, you'll hear some of that from the national media. Look at this Bulls team. People picked them to be a sneaky playoff contender. Well, not playoff contender, but a sneaky team that could make the playoffs. And this is where they are at the all-star break? Really? This? I think that you can get some of that national attention on how poorly this Bulls season has gone, while also still seeing Zach make the All-Star team. I think we can see both things happen. But I certainly understand the texter's point that if Zach doesn't make the All-Star team, then that narrative and the outside noise, the outside scrutiny becomes all the more strong. Because what do you have here in Chicago? What are you doing here in Chicago? We'll have to wait and find out whether or not Zach will get one of those reserve spots. That's it for today. Appreciate everybody who checked in on our text line and on Facebook. We'll try to get to some more content later in the week. Lots of texts rolling in, and we appreciate everybody who's checking in with us and wants to join in on the conversation. Tough times. These are, you know, the dog days of January. The games keep on rolling, and to those of you out there who are still watching the games and still tuned in, still absorbing our content, we very much appreciate you. Bulls fans got to stick together. Just a reminder, that number, 331-979-1369 for all of your texts, voicemails, for our Bulls mailbag segments. For my partner, Jordan Malley, Matt Peck, saying thanks so much for listening. As always, have a great afternoon and evening, Bulls fans. We'll see what the Bulls can do against the Timberwolves tonight. Hopefully we can talk about a win tomorrow. And we got another Friday, Saturday back-to-back on deck to finish out the week. Thanks so much for listening. Follow me on Twitter at Bulls_Peck. We're at Locked On Bulls. Jordan's at Jordan C. Malley. See red. Be good. Peace out.
Locked On Bulls, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA. Hosts Jordan Malley and Matt Peck dive into the best Bulls news and stories around the NBA. For more content and to stay up to date, head over to LockedOnBulls.com.